When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, Simeon took him up in his arms. In the name of Jesus, you may be seated. Amen. According to the custom of the law. What is striking is how Jesus, the lawgiver, is brought under the law. The Redeemer is symbolically redeemed. And this sinless one is present at a purification rite. But this is not accidental. It prepares us for the gospel truth that Christ fulfills the law perfectly, not abolishing it, but completing it on behalf of his people. So what was going on is the custom was that the parents had to present an offering, a sacrifice. And Luke explicitly tells us they offered the poor man's sacrifice, an offering of a pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons. And then they hand Jesus over to the priest, the one who becomes the sacrifice, is handed over to the priest. And then by custom, the redemption price, which was 5 shekels, was given to get the child back. So they paid this little fee. They did this little enactment to show forth what God had told them to do in the law. But you see how it's the one doing this all. He is fulfilling all things. The one who would buy back, redeem all mankind. Yet, before any priest speaks, the Spirit speaks. Before any hand of office touches the child, faith receives him. An old man in the temple, waiting in the courtyard, waiting for an answer to a promise, takes him in his arms and starts to sing. Simeon, he's waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Spirit revealed to him that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Simeon waited his whole life for this comfort. And to receive comfort is what consolation, that consolation, console, that word means receive comfort. So it's the new year, so I want to ask you, what are you waiting for? Simeon waited his whole life. People love to bring in a new year with new plans, new thoughts, new actions. And you may have been waiting for 2026. Maybe you too, like Simeon, are waiting to take up something. And that's just the thing. We all are essentially waiting. We do wait a lifetime because our lives are bound up in time. How about that old soap opera? Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives. Yep, my mom used to watch that. I didn't want to, but it was on in the house. But it's a new year, and that means there must have been one, a year that went before it, and there will must come what may, a year after this one, so forth and so on. So we are still here. We are still waiting. How about when we say things like, good things come to those who wait, or God acts on behalf of those who wait for him? I just want to say those sayings are silly, by the way, because if you live like me in reality, there's tension in the waiting. And it often hurts to wait. It hurts to grow, too, sometimes. Physically grow. Growing pains. You know, my legs hurt, I guess, when I was about 13, because they were getting bigger. The bones were growing. And guess what? The Lord had to do all that, too. Physically grow. We all have to grow physically. But so, too, must our faith grow. We must grow our faith. And we do that also in tension. In time, the church lives in all of this. The already, but not yet, between the promise and the fulfillment. So like Simeon and Anna, we too live on the edge of promise and fulfillment. See, Simeon and Anna, although they belong to the old covenant, you belong to the new covenant. And you are a part of the generation now that waits. That waits without seeing it yet. That's why it matters that Jesus was born a baby. Christ the Messiah, the new and better second Adam. And unlike the first Adam, Jesus came to be born a baby, an infant. And infants have to grow. Now, we don't have the accounts of the life of Jesus after this, except, you know, when he's growing up. We don't have it until the brief visit of the Magi when they come to Jesus. And then when he begins his ministry, he's 30 years old. Well, yeah, there's another one-timer. That's when he was 12 years old and he was found in the temple teaching the teachers who were listening to him and asking him questions. But other than that, nothing. So what was he doing all that time? He was growing. And he was growing for you. Jesus stepped into humanity to do it the way you and I have to do it. He had to wait and he had to grow. And when Mary and Joseph had performed all these things, they returned to Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth. And it says, the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with the wisdom and grace of God that was upon him. Jesus had to grow, and he did it for you. Jesus grew for you. And truthfully, we do not need the account of Jesus' childhood years because we already know what he was doing. He was learning. He was growing in wisdom, and that means he had to learn to crawl, to walk, to talk, to feed himself, to learn the ABCs, reading, writing, and arithmetic. He had to do chores at home. He had to obey his parents. He probably played outside with other neighborhood children. He lived an ordinary life of a child. That's what he was doing, and he did it all for you. We have a God and Savior who knows what it's like to have to grow up and do the things that we have to do. He became completely human for you, that he may know what it's like to be us. Now, his road was the cross, but even that he still had to wait for. To be patient, he did get to live a life of a child and know what it's like to grow up in an ordinary household. He knew what it was like to have siblings and to have to share things with them, live through the thick and thin of family dynamics. And in that way, he sanctifies infancy and childhood because he became it. Jesus knows what it's like to wait. And some of you are still waiting, waiting for answers, waiting for healing, waiting for something to make sense. And some of you here are older than others. Much wiser, because you have had to grow for a longer amount of time. What does that have to do with faith? This growth in faith doesn't explain much, does it? But it does have to wait. Faith is not completion. Faith, like Simeon and Anna had, doesn't need the whole story in order to see. Faith just needs Jesus, a person, a baby. And it's important to know that linguistically speaking, faith is a noun. It's not a verb like many think it is or treat it as, something you do. No, faith is a noun. That means it's something you cannot do, because you can't do a noun. You could be a noun, person, place, or thing, right? Therefore, faith is an object, only something that you can receive. And the object of our faith is a person. Here, a tiny baby, a tiny child that Simeon takes in his arms and holds. And that's because faith recognizes presence, not completion. Simeon waits his whole life for the completion of salvation. And the song that he sings, you know well, you sing it every Sunday, called Simeon's Song, or in the Latin, the Nunc Dimittis, we sing after the service of sacrament. Why do we sing that? We sing now that I've held him in my arms, I've seen salvation. We confess, in the words of the Nunc Dimittis, that we have seen salvation. That's because, just like Simeon, we live on the edge. We live on the edge between promise and fulfillment, the edge of the covenant, just like them. And this edge was foretold in Jeremiah. And they knew this. They knew the old covenant. They knew it was passing away, but they believed that the new covenant was coming. And they waited and they waited without seeing it. Jeremiah 31 describes, though, the end of this waiting. Knowledge of God no longer delayed. Forgiveness is no longer anticipated. Sin is no longer remembered. Simeon and Anna lived their entire lives on that promise. And so does the church. And the delay of the promise and fulfillment. The church knows that sins are forgiven. The church knows that the knowledge of God is not delayed. We all have the knowledge of God, all that we need for this lifetime. Yet faith still has to grow. The church knows the fulfillment is real too, yet still has to wait for the finality of peace. And it matters a lot. That matters a lot, because if faith required completion, then check this out. Simeon would have had to wait for Good Friday. Anna would have had to wait for Easter. And the church would have to wait for the last day. But faith recognizes presence, not completion. And that presence is enough. That's what Simeon's saying, in essence. And that's enough, as he holds Jesus. He's not clinging to results. He's clinging to Christ. And this is how faith endures. Not by seeing everything finished, but by recognizing who is present. By holding Christ in your very hands. That's why Simeon can depart in peace. Once again, sound familiar? You'll hear that. So that you may depart in peace. Depart in peace is not saying, oh, you can return to your pew now. That blessing I give you, the pronouncement, after you receive Jesus in your hands, you've seen salvation, is so that you may depart in peace, is talking about like Simeon in death. That when you die, you have seen salvation and you're just like a little Simeon. Now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. There is a time to say that, to sing it, and that's the reason why we do it. For your eyes do see salvation. Christ's presence, that's the outcome of faith. And although waiting hurts, God answers with presence, not explanations. God does not need to hand you the future. He hands you Christ. Simeon and Anna show us something about that as well. How neither one of them even saw the cross or the empty tomb. Yet they are giving thanks for it already. Because where Christ is present, it's enough. That's faith's posture. That's the church's weekly experience. And that too is enough. You may not see how everything turns out, but faith does not wait for the end. Faith rests where Jesus is. And that's enough. An old man and a baby. One has waited their whole life. The other has just arrived. One is ready to die. The other has just begun to live so that he can die. He met the Christ child, nestled in Mary's arms, softly cooing. And that's enough. Simeon doesn't need to see how it all turns out because he's holding Jesus. He's holding Jesus. Now, you may have had enough this past year. Things get to us and we say, that's enough. I can't take it anymore. I've had enough. You're sick of fill in the blank. And you know that there's got to be more. Things have got to turn out better, but you'll just have to wait and see. But honestly, truthfully, things might not change much in 2026. But every day, every year that passes is one day, one year closer to fulfillment. And that's enough. Jesus says, yeah, I hear you. Hear you saying, ah, that's enough. He says, yes, it is. Take me in your arms. And that kind of reminded me of something I heard. I think mainly it was after Super Bowl commercials. They don't have good commercials anymore, do they? But you remember the old Disney commercial with the child, and the child's being told they're going to Disney World tomorrow? And the parents then laid him down to sleep. Okay, go to sleep because, you know, you wake up in the morning and then we get to go. But the child says, what did he say? I'm too excited to sleep. Love that commercial. Why are they too excited to sleep? How come? They aren't there yet. They're excited because they don't even need to see the tickets. They don't need to be at the gate yet. They don't need to be on one of the rides yet. They cannot sleep, not because it's already happened, but because it's real. The promise is so real that it already changes everything. Likewise, faith doesn't need to be there yet. Faith just needs the promise to be real. Simeon is holding the promise, and that's enough. Christ is present, and that's enough. Time is bound now for us as it was then. But now, time is for Jesus. He's outside of time, but he comes down to us. That's why he can be here, because he's not bound by time anymore. And he's here for you to take him in your arms. You just need to hold Jesus. You can hold on to whatever come what may, or you can hold on to Jesus and say, that's enough. Mary marveled at these things. And so does the church, your mother, who brings you to the custom of purification, redemption, and blessing. And that's not symbolic. That's revelatory, revealing, living on the edge of where heaven meets earth. And the Spirit still, for us now, speaks in time. And he will continue to speak in time for the rest of your life, so that you can depart in peace, according to his word. And this is how you too can return back to life after church. Get back to the, how we say it, the daily grind. You can get back to the new year and grow. Grow in the Spirit and grow in the wisdom and grace of God as you come into his presence, as you take him in your arms. And folks, that's enough. In the name of Jesus, amen.